You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. Before the show started, I tried to experiment with my sound, make it sound louder. Spike says they don't sound any louder, so I tried. I know the listeners wanted to listen to the podcast in loud areas, and I really wasn't making that happen. So it's not for nothing. I'm trying over here.
Hey, and we appreciate your efforts, Grant.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate your feedback too. So keep leaving those reviews. We read them all the time.
Oh my God.
Keep leaving them.
Right, guys, so it's basically a bye week. What is happening with the Seahawks right now? We got no press conference yesterday. We've got no news on Jaron Reed. We're living in a world with very limited news. Grant, what's the headline today?
The headline is Byron Maxwell, former Seahawk, current Seahawk. He worked out yesterday and then was signed like really we all thought he'd be. And so, welcome back, Byron Maxwell, or as I like to say, Byron Maxwell, when he makes a good play. I'm excited. I think that he has something
to offer. He Maxwell, that's what we're going with?
Yeah, that's what I'm going with right now. Until he gets back on the field and making plays for the Seahawks, we can come up with something else. But that's the placeholder for right now.
Yeah, okay. I think the big question with Maxwell is we're back to four starting caliber corners for three relatively high playing time positions. And what's interesting is obviously with Richard Sherman, you have a clear number one. The room between number one and number four here is very limited. I don't even know what the ranking is at this point. Where do you, Grant, without having seen Maxwell play in a minute, where do you rank the four Seahawks cornerbacks at this point? And Nico Thorpe is five. He's number one in our hearts in special teams, but he's number five on the cornerback depth chart. Where do you rank the other four?
Well, like you said, just because we haven't seen Maxwell play in a good amount of time, we don't know really where he stands. So, you know, right off the top of my head, I'm putting Shaq Griffin number one.
There we go.
His stellar play and how much I love seeing Shaq. And it's as much of a toss-up as you can get with Jeremy Lane and Justin Coleman. So I'm going to put Byron Maxwell number two. I think that he'll be able to fill a better role on the outside than both of those guys. I think you're better off putting them in slot. Then probably, but just because we've seen a larger sample size with Lane, I'll put him number three and then Coleman number four. But you know,
you have Maxwell two, Lane three, Coleman four.
Right. Just because we've had a larger sample size with Lane, and don't sleep on Justin Coleman. I think he could be a fast riser in that conversation. I think he can catapult to number two given a good game any week. So it's a razor thin margin, and it's really a toss up.
Yeah, that's interesting. For me, I'm gonna go with Justin Coleman number one because I'm angry about those hands to the face penalties last week, and I feel like he deserves a break.
Yeah, he deserves a pick me up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna go Shaq Griffin number two, but to play CB1, play on the left. I don't know, man. Yeah, no, you got to play him on the right. You got to put Maxwell in on the left. And Lane is four. Lane, even like last week when he came in for Sherman, he got beat a bunch. And if we weren't up against Drew Stanton, we would have probably, if Carson Palmer had been the quarterback in that Arizona game, it would have been, I don't know that we would have lost, but it would have been dicey because there were throws to be made once Sherman went out that Drew Stanton just didn't make because he's terrible. And given that they kept needlessly calling hands to the face on Justin Coleman, those throws would have been there to exploit Jeremy Lane. He was exploitable. I don't like that. I'm slotting Maxwell in ahead of him if I'm Pete Carroll, but I'm not Pete Carroll for so many reasons. I'm way sleepier than Pete Carroll. I need to hydrate, unlike Pete Carroll, who just stands next to Gatorade bottles but never actually opens them. I've never broken my nose like Pete Carroll has. So, you know, so we're different guys. I get it. But if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm slotting Maxwell in at my left cornerback slot, even though he's my number three on my depth chart. And I was kind of being facetious with the Coleman thing, but really, he's played the best of our, of maybe any of our cornerbacks. He was playing out of his mind. Anytime he gets beat, the ball is totally contested. All of the penalties against him have been ticky-tack, as opposed to a couple of the ones against Sherman where they were smart holding penalties in that he would have gotten beat otherwise. And, you know, it's better to give up 5 yards than 30. But those are real penalties. So I don't know, man. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. So I think we generally agree about where to put guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is as fluid as a list as you can get. Like, I don't think any weight should be put into these rankings because they can change week by week. And a lot of it depends on how well Maxwell plays. And so we'll see on this Sunday. And he's kind of got a good matchup for him. I mean, well, not a good test in front of him. Not a good matchup for him. Not a favorable matchup. He's got a good test.
I mean, I really wonder what we do with a guy like Julio.
Yeah.
Although I will say he hasn't been playing as well, but going up against us without Richard Sherman could be an opportunity for him to get back on track.
Yeah, like this is a game where Atlanta could smell blood in the water and really, force the ball to Julio. And Julio, he can catch the ball, he can take it upfield, he's got those long strides and he's just an absolute athletic
freak.
He's
really good.
Yeah, and we hope that he'll have a few drops like he did against the Carolina Panthers. But that's only where we can pray. as far as that goes, Byron Maxwell's got a big test. Justin Coleman, he can really rise up my rankings, he could stay atop Spike's rankings, but it'll all depend on how they play this Sunday. Who's not playing this Sunday, Cliff Averill. He's got that neck thing. It's really scary. But he's in the news for other reasons. Really good reasons. And he was the Seahawks nominee for the Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award. And Brady Henderson of ESPN puts the definition of the award on Twitter. He says, "It's the NFL player who best demonstrates the qualities of on-field sportsmanship, including fair play, respect for the game, opponents, and integrity in competition." And so, Spike, I know that you had a really good reason for Cliff being nominated for this award.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the most sporting-like thing to do in football is to not play because it's just such a brutal game. Cliff is obviously amazing with his charity work that he does in Haiti. He does locally with his football camps. He's got the dining fundraisers where he raises a bunch of money. He's incredible. Cliff Averill's incredible. And also the most sportsmanlike way to play football is to not play at all. It's sort of like the movie War Games, which was made 30 years before Grant was born. And in which the computer learns that the only way, spoiler alert for War Games, by the way, but the only way to win thermonuclear war is to not play. So similarly, the only way to win the Art Rooney Award for sportsmanship is to not play football. So for me, Cliff Averill, early favorite, unless the Cowboys nominated Tony Romo, something like that. That would be a power play,
right?
Because he didn't even go to training camp.
No, I, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I'd say the most sporty thing of all is to really enhance the viewer's experience of the game. Like we said, the Seahawks are in a mini bye week, so there's not much going on. So we'll get back to you right after this. All right, so we got a little bit of a treat to break down for you. A video yesterday surfaced of Russell Wilson in swimming goggles and a mouth guard for his teeth. And he compared himself to a platypus? Spike, what happened yesterday?
Well, so there's a lot going on in this video, which thank you to Sam Hawk Badger on Twitter, who I believe, we joke about people having the number one hype account for anything, like Natalie having the number one Jermaine Kearse hype account, things along those lines. Sam might actually be the biggest Russell Wilson fan in the world. That is definitely in play.
Yeah.
And he posted a video of Wilson with a trainer or nutritionist, someone, friend, family, I don't know. And he has a mouthpiece in, so he's lisping. And we know that he's wearing this mouthpiece because of the hit that he took in last Thursday's game where he was getting checked out for a concussion, but actually what happened was he had some jaw issue that has since recurred and means that he's drooling too much if he doesn't wear a mouthpiece. Again, don't play football, kids. Don't ever play football. So he's wearing this mouthpiece. He's talking weird. He's wearing a swim cap. He's wearing goggles. He's talking about swimming. He's talking about being a shark. This friend of his is like, you're not a shark. Michael Phelps is the shark. You're like a flotation device. And Russell Wilson replies by saying he is a fat platypus because he's lisping with the mouth guard. It's a whole thing. It's pretty incredible. Grant, my question for you is, what are you when you hit the pool? When you hit the pool, what animal and adjective would you say you are?
All right. I'm a baby hippo, except a lot smaller. So let's see, like a tiny, tiny hippo.
Nice.
I think that's what I'll go with. But I want to commend Russell Wilson for a second. I think that we saw his comedic prowess had some work to do in the Pete Carroll video. And so you see him in the goggles, you see him in the swim cap with the mouthpiece, and he, being the tactician that he is, he knows what's going to make the viewers laugh. He has an audience and he knows them. And so he has that lisp. So what two words is he going to put together? Fath platypus. He gets top marks for that phrase and how it sounds. And he really rebounded from a poor performance in that Pete Carroll video.
Grant, stop dodging the question. What are you when you hit the pool?
I'm a tiny hippo. I don't move very fast, but I enjoy being in the water.
Okay.
I like to eat a lot of things, but like simultaneously while I'm in the water, I don't like to get out. Spike, what are you?
That's a great. I don't know if I'm going to come up with anything. Like a sleek bison. Like I'm like a pretty good swimmer, but I've also got like not like a huge guy, but like I'm displacing some water. I'm not like, my build is closer to, you know, like an unathletic Russell Wilson build rather than a Michael Phelps build. You know what I mean? I'm a little rounder. I'm a little more of a tight end, but we don't have any of the right, like I'm more of a Zach Miller build,
right,
if we're being real. So I'm displacing some water, but I am, and I'm not a great swimmer, but I'm like a pretty strong swimmer. I can like, you know, cause I grew up in Southern California to a degree. Like I can swim in the ocean.
You can hold your own.
I'm not very fast. Maybe sleek isn't the right word. Like a hardy buffalo. Maybe.
There you go. So you're making your way through the water and people are aware of you. I don't really know where we go after something like this because like,
oh man,
we talked about elephants yesterday. We talked about hippos and bison today, so we're going to take a moment and consider where to go after this. Okay, so we decided to stay on the topic of Russell Wilson, and this is a topic that we're not unfamiliar with. Russell Wilson has had a weird history with concussions, from nanobubbles to now tent visits that don't really last very long. Spike, why are the Seahawks in trouble with Russell Wilson and a head injury?
Well, so again, we're talking about a guy who got hit in the jaw and knew he wasn't concussed, or so we believe. You know, I'm obviously watching this through Russell Wilson tinted glasses as a fan of the Seahawks, so I'm taking him at his word on this, that it was clear to him that he suffered a jaw injury and not a concussion. So when he was sent off the field to do a concussion review, he said after the game that he answered all the questions they had before re-entering. And all we really see is him walking to the tent and coming back on the field without really being investigated by an independent neurologist. Given the league's supposed emphasis on safety, this is a violation of the rules, and the Seahawks are potentially going to be fined up to $150,000. For me, looking at this, I'm of two minds. One is, it did feel like the rules were being flouted, and you know, I don't like that. And even though I'm a Seahawks fan, head injury safety is such a big deal that Russell should have taken off the two extra plays it would have taken to get checked out. Like, if it were another team and I saw that, I'd be like, come on, that's not okay. You can't just do that. Like, I think back to the Super Bowl we lost against the Patriots where Julian Edelman did something similar. I was like, this is, and then like came back in and scored a touchdown. I was like, this is load of horse. Yeah, horse?
Exactly.
You know, stuff that comes out of a horse. So I'm of that mind, but I'm also of the mind where, like, this isn't really about player safety. This is about protocol and the NFL covering its ass more than anything else. And so strict adherence to rules that don't really make a difference, because we all know that subconcussive trauma is a big part of CTE, and so it isn't really just about concussions. Also, in this case, Wilson has a jaw injury. We know that because of the mouthpiece he's wearing. So his ability to self-diagnose in that moment, he isn't wrong. You know, like, he does have a jaw injury. So it is frustrating that he was put in the concussion protocol in the first place, despite the fact that he, like, clearly didn't, or it appears that he clearly didn't have a head injury. But at the same time, like, you got to go through the protocol. And the Seahawks have to be the sort of team where they can put a guy through the protocol. And to put another point on it, the fact that Austin Davis is our backup and not someone more competent, like, say, a former 49ers quarterback, such as Colin Kaepernick, or another former 49ers quarterback. You know, if we've got Steve Young in there, you know, he can come right in and take snaps. The fact that we don't have a guy we trust to take a couple snaps is a problem, and it manifests in a moment like that. We're like, yeah, I don't want Austin Davis on the field. Austin Davis is not good. He could throw an interception. He could do, like, when we beat the Panthers last year and they played Derek Anderson for one series and the game basically flipped in that moment. And so, I don't know, like, for me, again, if it were another team, I'd be like, fine him. I'll be really pissed if there's anything more than a fine, given what we know about the injury itself, given the, but I understand why there would be a fine, and that it's a first strike, and if it happens again, there would be more significant penalties.
Yeah, I think that Russell Wilson, like, given, like, he was the player in the play and, like, he knows, like, what happened, I think he gets credit there. But, like, he's always been the guy with his helmet on, ready to go, even in the preseason when, like, he definitely wasn't going to play. And so, obviously, the Seahawks know the type of player that he is, and they know that he's going to try to get back on the field. So they should put a bigger emphasis on him just, like, staying on the sideline for a play or two. And not really being the real life version of the Simpsons gif where Grandpa walks in, puts his hat down, puts it back on, and then leaves. And I think that Russell Wilson, as scary as a jaw injury is, like, if it's a hit to the head area, like, you gotta just, like, sit down, and, like, even if you know what's wrong, you just gotta go through it. And the Seahawks are in a position for the NFL to make an example of them. And
yeah,
that, I think that's, like, the biggest point they're trying to make. Like, I think it's kind of BS, but at the same time, like, it's gonna happen to one team. And if it's my team, like, just, like, who cares? Like, let's just get it over with. If there's a fine, that's all right. Like, if there's a situation where draft picks are in jeopardy, that would be, like, truly, like, wrong. And, like, then I'd be mad.
Given that there wasn't a genuine injury there, given that Wilson didn't stay in the protocol,
right,
it would be, that would feel too strong. But if they were to do nothing, that would feel too weak. So yeah, I believe on the books it says $150,000 fine for a first offense, and I think that should be enforced. Also, Paul Allen has all of the money. Who cares?
Yeah,
he has $150,000 to Paul Allen is me dropping a nickel on the ground.
I'm just being like, it's not worth my time.
It's not worth my time. Guys, I'm the sort of guy who just walks around town dropping nicks.
You drop a nickel, don't sweat it, just walk right past it.
I'm just like, I should be spending the nickels on getting my pockets fixed, because they just fall right out. I have perfect nickel size holes and all, but I don't know where this
you
is
have
going.
You have a path of destruction and nickels. All right, I think that, you know, this is gone off the rails just a little bit, so I think we're gonna tie it up a little bit.
Thank you all for listening. Yeah. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes and get entered to win a PFF Edge membership with a value of like $40, and the bigger value of knowing things. Knowledge is power, people. Also, right. We'll probably read your review on the air if it's funny.
Exactly.
Or if it's just nice. Even if it's nice or funny, or if it's mean, honestly. We've read some mean ones on the air, too. But, like, don't do that on purpose. Like, I don't, like, I'm a human being out here. I bleed, I cry, I sweat.
Drop nickels.
And so does Grant, probably.
Right.
So, I've never seen him do any of those three things in person, but I believe he does them.
Yeah, I have bled, sweat, and cried. I don't know at which times in my life I have. I'm not going to disclose that information to you, but I definitely have. I'm a human being. But, yeah, if you enter yourself to win a Pro Football Focus membership, you save yourself about $40. That's an upscale lunch. You can go to lunch and have a good time, not worry about what menu items you're wearing.
Wait, that's a really upscale lunch. $40 for one person for lunch?
Well, I'm assuming you're going with somebody to
lunch. That is a very nice lunch for two people, tip included.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting heavy, you're splitting a nap. You're getting a Sando on Ciabatta. You know, you're living your life. You're living your best life.
Right, and you're living your best life by listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. So I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
I'm Spike Friedman telling you to eat the lunch of the life you want to live.